What is baptism? You know, when we started off the service, I shared a little bit. Allow me to share a little bit more. Baptism signifies the washing away of our sins. Baptism signifies the death of our old selves. Baptism signifies a new beginning. All of this grounded, rooted in Christ Jesus. All of this made possible in our lives, not by our good intentions or even our good works, but by the perfect work of Christ Jesus on the cross. Today I'm going to be just dwelling on two things. I'm going to be talking about the path to the pool. How all of us come to a place where we believe in Jesus and we're saved. And I'm also going to be talking about the progress from the pool. Once we are baptized, what happens to our lives? What changes? More importantly, where do we find the power for this change? So two things we're going to be looking at from two different passages in the Bible. First, the path to the pool. And second, the progress from the pool. Let's start with our path to the pool. How do we come to a place where we believe in Jesus and are baptized as an expression of our faith in Christ Jesus? I want to share the story of a man named Saul. Saul, to begin with, was an enemy of Jesus. He did not like Christians. He did not like followers of Jesus. And the Bible, the book of Acts, gives a pretty graphic description of all the things that he did to oppose Christians and anyone who would believe in Jesus. One incident, which is quite shocking, was there was a follower of Jesus, a man named Stephen. And Stephen was stoned to death for his faith in Jesus. When Stephen was being stoned by the mob, all of those in the mob who wanted to stone him well took off their coats. And the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 58 says that they laid the coats on the feet of a young man named Saul. So Saul washed over their coats while they stoned. And the same chapter also says that Saul approved of the killing of Stephen. And the only reason Stephen was killed, stoned to death, was because of his faith in Jesus. Now you and I would imagine that if a man were to witness the stoning of death of a person, it could move him. And we would imagine that it might actually make Saul feel bad, at least. What happened was quite the contrary. It seems that Paul, he was then named Saul, he hadn't yet been renamed Saul, he hadn't yet been renamed Paul. Saul was actually energized by the killing. And his resolve to persecute Christians and anyone who believed in Jesus became stronger and stronger. And so what Paul did was he took letters from the religious leaders of that time. He had persecuted pretty much all the Christians in the city that he lived. So he wanted to go to another city, the city of Damascus, to persecute those who followed Jesus in that city as well. It's okay with the mic. It's okay if you don't have it. He wanted to persecute people in the other city as well. So he got letters from the religious leaders authorizing him, and he set out on a journey to Damascus. And on the way to Damascus, Jesus encountered him. It's an amazing story. A story that's first described in Acts, and later on Paul himself redescribes that incident all over again to us. As Saul was going towards Damascus, keen on persecuting those who believed in Jesus, the Bible says that there was a blinding white light. And out of the light came a voice, the voice of Jesus speaking to Saul. And the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul was shocked. And he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," the voice replied. Soon after that, Paul was blinded. And Jesus instructed him to go to a city and wait. And Paul, by now blinded And all his values and everything that he had believed in the past was shaken. And he was there waiting 3 days. And that's when God spoke to another man named Ananias. And I'm going to read that passage for us. It's from Acts chapter 9. The Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man, Saul, is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and the kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Now, taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with disciples in Damascus. He got up and he was baptized. That's the baptism we will witness, and Jean and Calvin are going to participate in this morning. Saul began his journey to persecute believers of Jesus. That's how he began. That's what he set out to do. But he ended up in the pool being baptized. That was Paul's path to the pool. Many of our journeys are also quite similar. All of us, without exception, started off as enemies of God. Enemies because we've all done mistakes, without exception. Whether we're born in a Christian family or any, whatever religion we're born into, all of us have made mistakes. All of us have flaws in us. All of us have at least a little bit of wickedness hiding in us. All of us have sinned. And so that to that extent, all of us began as enemies of a holy God. And if we look back at how we came to faith in Jesus, I think we will all recognize that it wasn't as if we went searching for Jesus. It wasn't as if we did the right thing. It was quite the contrary. God came searching for us, just as God came searching for Saul. God found us. It's not as if we found God. The path to the pool is always the path of grace. And every time we get to witness baptism, we need to pause and say, "God, I acknowledge your grace. It is your grace which saved me. It is your grace. It is purely your grace." And we need to acknowledge that. Do we have some more volume on the one first, please? That's the first thing I wanted to talk about. The path to the pool. The second thing I want to talk about is the progress from the pool. Now we will be baptized. Calvin and Calvin are going to be baptized today. What next? What happens? And many of us have been baptized. What changes? What does getting into the pool change in our lives? And how do we become better because we've gone into the pool? And that's the second thing that I want to talk about, the progress from the pool. You know, I've talked to quite a lot of people, and the talk of baptism intimidates them. You know, one thing that I've always heard is, you know, I don't think I can be a good person after I'm baptized. In expressing that doubt, that concern, what they're actually articulating is, I have to be good in my strengths. That is not true at all. It is God who gives us grace to become better. We become better people not because we want to be better people or we will work hard to be better people. We become better because God enables us. So the same Paul who was baptized, he wrote about baptism a lot in the New Testament. And I'm going to read one small passage for us, which explains the progress from the pool. I'm reading from a book of the New Testament called Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. It's a very interesting passage. I'm going to spend about 10 minutes on this passage. What is Paul preaching about? Pretty obviously, Paul is preaching about baptism. But the question I'd like us to think about is, who is Paul preaching to? Whenever someone's preaching on baptism, who would you expect him to preach about baptism to? We would preach about baptism to people who are not yet baptized. That would be the logical assumption, wouldn't it? But the people Paul is preaching to here is the church in Rome. That's why the book is titled Romans. And he's writing to the church, which means he's writing to believers. He's writing to followers of Jesus. Paul is writing this to people who have already been baptized. So Paul is preaching baptism to people who have already been baptized. Now why would he do that? Why would Paul do this? The answer lies there in the passage. If you look at verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Paul is writing to people who are believers of Jesus, who have been baptized, and who are still struggling with sinfulness in their lives. That's the people group Paul is addressing to this passage. I'm sure that'll be familiar to all of us. We all struggle with things that even we don't like about ourselves. Leave alone others, and leave alone God Himself. So Paul is preaching to people who've already been baptized, but who are still struggling with sin. It is this situation that I want to address today. As I talk about the progress from the pool. Most believers, most followers of Jesus enjoy an active faith and experience of God removing the penalty of our sins, but few people also progress to the experience of the gospel in our lives becoming the power to overcome sin. How do we experience more and more of this power to overcome sin? That's the question Paul is trying to address here. Let me come at this another way. We often see grace, we sung that song, Grace, Grace. We often see grace only as the mercy of God for the forgiveness of our sins. Grace is, of course, the mercy of God. We also need to remember that grace is also the power of God that helps us overcome our sin. Most of us who are followers of Jesus, we know how to find pardon for sin through grace. Fewer actually also learn to appropriate grace as a power to overcome sin. You know, we've all been in that place. We've all been in a place where we have struggled to find the power to overcome sin. We know what we are doing is wrong. Not only do we know, we also actually feel bad for that sin. And not only are we feeling bad, we're probably also repenting, we're asking God to forgive us of our sins. And we also experience forgiveness of God for those sins. But still, we are unable to take the next step, which is actually to experience the power of God to overcome our sin. This is what I call the big gap. As I was saying earlier, we enjoy the penalty of our sins being taken away because Christ was punished on our behalf. But it takes us longer to also progress to the experience of experiencing the power to overcome our sins. The big gap. When we stand in this big gap, we are all tempted to go to two false motivations to become better people. The two false motivations are pride and fear. You know, how can I'm a good person, I'm serving the church, how can I keep on doing this? So therefore, I should not do. That is pride. Or, if I keep on doing this, God is going to punish me. And so I better get my acts together. That is fear. Those are both wrong motivations. What Paul is trying to show us here is the right motivation. What is Paul doing here? Paul is talking to people who have already been baptized, who are believers of Jesus, who are still struggling with sin. And Paul is telling them, go back and think of your baptism experience. Think of how you were saved by grace. He is telling them that because he knows that the power to overcome sin is to be found by looking at how the penalty of our sins was taken away. Paul is actually teaching a beautiful truth about baptism. Paul is saying, baptism is a one-time event. It happens once in our lives. But Paul is teaching us that it's also a lifetime reminder. Paul is teaching the church at Rome to look back at their baptism, to look back at how they were saved by grace, to look back at how the penalty of their sins was taken away, and looking back, Paul is teaching the church that it is here that they find the power to overcome sin. What we're going to experience today is a beautiful experience for Gene and for Calvin, but for the rest of us as we watch them walk into the waters of baptism, it will be a reminder of our experience of how God saved us by His grace. I want to just close with just one thought. I'm going to be explaining two slightly heavy words, not very difficult to understand. The first word I want to talk about is justification. You'll have a verse that comes up to explain what that means. Justification means how God forgives us. He forgives us because when we come to faith in Jesus, Jesus was punished for our sins. And He took our punishment, and therefore we can be forgiven. This is justification. When we come to faith, we are completely forgiven. We are pronounced perfect in God's eyes. The second word I want to talk about is the word sanctification. This is the process in which day by day, moment by moment, slowly, we become better and better, enabled by God's grace, led by His Word, and led by His Holy Spirit. So that is sanctification, how we become better and better. Now, logically, we would assume that we are first sanctified, we become better and better and better, and then we are justified, we are pronounced 100% perfect. What is happening here is the opposite. We are first pronounced perfect by faith in Jesus. When we believe in Jesus, we are pronounced perfect. And having been pronounced perfect, slowly, again by faith, we become better and better and better. So justification actually precedes sanctification. And what Paul is teaching, and that's the progress from the pool, Paul is teaching us that the power for our sanctification comes. We receive the power for our sanctification by looking back at our justification. Paul is teaching us that the progress from the pool is achieved not by us wanting to be good or doing better things, but the progress from the pool is achieved by looking back at the food, by looking back at our justification, by looking back at how God saved us in Christ Jesus. Of course, one simple thought. God did not send His Son Jesus to die for our sins so that He can forgive us and then allow us to continue struggling in our sins. That doesn't make sense at all. If God gave His Son Jesus to die for us on the cross so that our sins are forgiven, that same provision of Jesus also gives us the power to overcome our sinful habits. And that's the second thing I want to close with, the progress from the pool. We become better people after our baptism, not because we desire to be better people, but because of our faith in Jesus. After our baptism, we look back at our baptism. We look back at what Jesus did for us. And in that, we find power for salvation, power for our spiritual growth.